congratulate me, my dear. Frederica's aunt and uncle have taken her back to Churchill.
I thought you'd grown to enjoy Frederica's company so.
Comparatively, a bit. But I'm not so self-indulgent as to want to wallow in the companionship of a child.
Lass, I fear this is our last meeting, at least while Mr. Johnson is in life. His business at Hartford has become extensive. If I continue to see you, he vows to settle in Connecticut forever.
Oh, you could be scalped. I had a feeling that the great word respectable would someday divide us. Your husband I abhor, but we must yield to necessity. Our affection cannot be impaired by it, and in happier times, when your situation is as independent as mine, we will again unite. For this, I will impatiently wait.
I also.
May Mr. Johnson's next gouty attack end more favorably.
And I never thought I'd feel this way. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad I got the chance to say that I do believe I love you. And if I should ever go away, well then close your eyes.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
And you guys bring a little bit more energy to this podcast, please.
Alright, let's do it one more time.
Yes.
This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And no, we lost it. We lost it, Damian. I don't know what just happened.
I pulled up.
Yeah. You pulled up muscle.
Yeah.
His hammy went.
Yeah.
Just because you say it stopped running don't mean so you have to pretend that you can't podcast anymore with the high energy.
I'm on the floor and yeah. I'm doing the universal, you know, take me off the pitch
right.
sign. It's time You're for a substitution yeah. sign.
Sorry, complete side note.
Yes.
I was watching the Champions League matches today.
I'm mm-hmm. so upset I forgot about that today.
Yeah, you and were busy at work. Always.
At the end of the Man U match, they switched over, like how they always do. They like switch over to whatever match is still going like, here, have 2 minutes of football.
Right.
And they switched over to the Chelsea-Atletico match.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a half second in my head where I said, where's Costa?
Oh, boy. It's pretty good, Andrew.
Damn it. I don't know why.
Where is Costa? He's not on the field for anybody. It's weird.
Like, I saw Batshuayi running up and down, and I'm like, but where's Costa?
Doesn't Costa play for this team? Hey, guys, turns out PSG isn't the greatest footballing team on the planet.
What?
They lost a match.
Oh,
to
no.
To Bayern Munich.
To Bayern. But they beat Bayern 18-0 the last time, proving once and for all. They had their hand on the Champions League trophy. But as it turns out, Bayern is still good at football.
Yep.
In a shocking turn of events.
But I apologize, guys, listening to this podcast. I didn't mean to make a football podcast as Damon's about to begin.
No, I was done.
But we're cutting that off right now.
I was done.
Okay.
Because we have two movies to talk about.
We have two movies to talk about, yes, today. We're going to start out by talking about the 2017 film with Christoph Waltz and mm-hmm. Alicia Vikander,
mm-hmm.
Tulip Fever.
In 1634, Amsterdam was captivated by a flower. Rich and poor gambled on the tulip market. Sophia was a beautiful orphan, chosen by one of the richest men in the city.
Love, honor, and obey.
I've decided to engage the service.
Damian.
What? Yes. Damian wants.
This is my cue to you to like start talking about the movie and doing the synopsis thing and all those things that we do at this
why?
Point.
Why do I have to do it?
Because it's your movie.
Damn it.
That's the rule. That's what we always do.
Yeah, I know. Tulip Fever is about a whore that gets married to a half-decent man. And continues whoring. And then decides to take her whoring ways to a faraway land and it backfires and she becomes a nun, thus proving my theory that all nuns are whores. That's what this movie is about. Anything else?
Ouch.
Is there anything else?
Alicia Vikander was also in this movie.
Yeah, she's a whore. That's what I'm speaking of.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Judi Dench.
I'm also talking about Judi Dench.
She actually says in a portion, the guy's like, what you mean? How did you do? And she tells this story about this guy that gave it to her because she knew him. He knew her from before.
Yeah, it's not that he's bringing it up. I'm like, oh, yeah, Judi Dench was a whore.
Don't you dare be talking about Dame Judi Dench like that.
Listen.
No, it's more like, damn, Judi Dench.
That's how I see it. I saw Fassbender's wife and Fassbender Senior. Because Christoph Waltz is what Fassbender is going to grow into, right?
They were both in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, they were. And I preferred Waltz. In fairness, I prefer Christoph Waltz in most things. He's really good. Yeah. Even though in this he didn't get a lot to do. Because
Christoph Waltz always is... He has like a whimsy about him, right? He looks like... You know what? He's not playing this fully serious. He's joking with us. But with Fassbottom, as much as we love him, he's always fully earnest. You know?
He... Things he's serious.
Is there a funny Fassbender movie? Is there a movie where Fassbender is actually
300? Well, 300, but no, not even really that. The most I could say is Frank.
No.
And even then,
This is something to think about. But I need to find this. I need to find a comedy.
Christoph plays a
Fassbender.
A rich man that he's a merchant of sorts, and he lost his wife and child, and so he has decided that the next logical step is to go to a whorefinage, some would call it. And
hey, Black Dynamite.
Yep,
kept that to himself. You can't use that term again. Right, it's copywritten.
Oh, wait, is that actually,
that's in, actually Black in Black Dynamite, yes. The horror footage.
It's called the horror footage.
Yep. And he finds Vikander's character, and it starts out, and the person who's doing the bulk of the narration is Vikander's friend. Mm-hmm. She gets married to Christoph and becomes a lady of the house, and she takes this other girl with her who was friends from the orphanage, and she's like the housemaid, but she treats her well. And the story is about her not being able to conceive a child with Christoph's, and so falls in love with a painter. It is rote. It is the most cliche of all the cliches. And they try to distract you by keeping everything snappy. Like they don't bog down anything with a lot of at least for me. So maybe for you guys, Douglas is is looking at me like I've seen a different movie. But for me, they kept the pace up. They didn't spend a lot of time showing why Christoph wasn't a good man or whatever. There was a lot of repetition, which was funny. That it was played for comedy.
He was
effect.
A good soldier.
His soldier needs some assistance. He's not standing up tonight. Men who name their penises are the worst people on the planet.
Yeah.
Every man names their penis, but it's to be kept to yourself.
And you know, to name it is one thing. To have conversations with it and about it with your wife while
is horrifying.
That's special.
So I expected him to be the worst kind of person, but he wasn't. He was just a guy.
I'd like to think though that if there was one person who you could talk to about that, it's your wife, and you'd have like fun jokes about it.
No,
like dumb.
She
like,
gets to name your penis. It's not the name you want to give your penis, obviously. right? You've named it something macho like Rambo.
Damien?
No, nope. No one will ever know. It's not Rambo, though. Not even close. It's Chuck Norris.
By the way, is it just me or... So, there's a point where there's one of the sex scenes and he actually ends it by saying something like, oh, God, forgive me. I heard that and immediately in my mind, that is how he ends all lovemaking sessions.
Oh, God.
You know, and he was talking about, you know, cannons firing and shit like that. And then, like, oh, God, oh forgive God. Me.
Like, they made him out to be the creepiest creep that has ever come.
I don't know why, but that reminded me of Francis Ha, when, like, there's a scene in Francis Ha where they're talking about some guy, and they're like, and he's one of those types of guys who always climaxes going, Geronimo, and I'm like, what?
There's no people like that. We killed all of them. That was outlawed years ago. But this movie was set up so that, at least for me, at the outset, it was like, Christoph Waltz will be a jerk and she will find refuge in this other guy. But that is not the case. Waltz did the typical husband shit and she fell in love with a painter kind of haphazardly. Like, it was not done well. The transition between her not liking him and the two of them falling in love was quick, fast, and made zero sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
No.
So, mm-hmm. Norman Osborn has a lot of money.
Right.
And that's why she fell in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was wondering if anyone would remember that he was in that shitty Spider-Man movie.
I was going to pretend that didn't happen. But everyone remembers that he was in that shitty Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, he was in... two shitty Spider-Man movies.
My apologies.
They handle that very poorly. Yeah. He literally walks in and he doesn't even recognize, and then he looks at her and stops, and it's you know.
Then he goes home and it's like, oh no, I am in love.
God damn it.
And then runs. And so then it's just these two shitty people. Cheating on, like, this man. And then she realizes that the housemaid is pregnant and does the thing that makes no sense. She's just like, no, it is I who am pregnant. And we'll pass off this child as my own. And the doctor in this movie.
Yeah.
Tom Holland.
I love him.
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland
whenever
or
he shows
Hollander?
Up in
I
movies.
Can never remember
Holland,
which one he is. I know. Holland, one of them is Spider-Man, yes. And the other one is this
guy,
this wonderful man who I've loved ever since. You know, the first time I at least took note
Tom
of him.
Tom Hollander.
Oh, this
in
is Hollander. Okay.
In the Loop is the first time
yes,
I saw him.
In the Loop
okay,
is
no,
where
so
I
the first time I knew him, I said, you know what? This is a guy to watch out. And it's always the stupidest things, right? Was he was in the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie as that asshole guy. Was Captain. His name Cutler Bennett or something like that?
You said
Pirates yeah, he was the guy of the East India Trading
yeah,
Company.
Yeah, yeah. And he was you know, hunting down everybody. Mm-hmm. And he was great.
Yeah. He knows how to choose scenery.
Oh my God.
It is incredible the things that he's doing in this movie.
And he's another one. Just like we talked about Waltz a while ago.
Yeah.
There are times when he's super serious. Yeah. But... even when that happens, you look at him and you're like, you're funny.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember Hannah?
Mm-hmm.
And him and Hannah? That was super psycho, super yeah. dark, but
and he was
fuck,
still,
that
yeah.
was funny.
There was still this feeling that, oh, this is all funsies.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, he's a murderer psychopath. But, he's spectacular. Like, him and Judy Dench.
He's one of the reasons I was able to finish Taboo. Yeah. Did you ever watch that show
no.
with Tom Hardy?
I did finish Taboo. Mm. Oh, I like that show.
I wouldn't go as far to say that I hate it, but I lean heavily on my love for him
right.
in the show mm-hmm. and my love for Tom Hardy not in that show.
Distracting your problem. Yeah. So they conspire to trick the husband, and then at the very end, they start to tack on her faking her death and disappear, like a whole heap of garbage. But the movie is not good. It is
with Damien. It is costumes.
Yeah, it is not, at least for me, because I enjoy the genre. It is not terrible, but I can't. This movie is what people think all period movies. So if you don't already like those type of movies and you watch this, you're like, yeah, this is precisely the type of trash that these movies are. Which is, I guess it's fair. I guess these movies make up a large percentage of those type of movies, and then you have the exceptions. But this movie is cliche, but in all of the bad ways. Like, all the story is super predictable. The ending is trash. Like, it's just not. The storytelling isn't good. There's funny bits in there, but they're all down to the doctor and the initial scenes with the fishmonger guy who is dating the house lady. Like, that, those scenes are fun, but the rest of the movie is throwaway. And to have it all centered around this tulip economy that no one explains.
Well, I think shit.
I think they do it on purpose.
To be fair, that was a real thing.
No, I know, but...
Was it?
Yes, yeah, it was. It was a real thing. 100%. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Andrew, you're old enough now. You should read history books. I know comic books are easy and fun, but audiobooks will get you most of the way. Listen to an audiobook while playing Pro Evo. Let's catch up on some history.
Do you think we can get Zaltzman to read textbooks? And
slip in bullshit in there. Yes. To see if you can catch it. Just sliding.
And then every once in a while, John Oliver will come in and when we're talking bullshit. About geography. Yeah. Not that that's that's bullshit, clearly needs to be yes. there. But outside of that, when you're dealing with geography, he'll come in and say things like...
Bolivia. You didn't even recognize.
You didn't even realize that's it, not did
Bolivia.
You?
Yeah. That is Bolivia. Except that's not. When he does that, and I realize right away that the country that he has up is wrong, it makes me truly sad. This movie is just mediocre.
Mediocre.
I expected better. I really wanted it to be better. There are some fun things about this movie, but it's forgettable. And
Never forget.
Apologize. All buildings matter, Douglas. And
the weekly up thump apology of this year.
No, this isn't trash. I apologize for not giving better representation to a genre that I like that I know Douglas hates. So I didn't really want to bring movies that will enforce negative stereotypes. I was trying to do what Andrew's been doing with horror movies. You notice Andrew doesn't bring garbage horror movies anymore. He's like, I have to vet these and make sure that Damien will like these so that years from now, I can catch it.
Yeah, Damien, the quality control and vetting policies on this one went straight through the window.
It ain't great.
Damien just saw Christoph Waltz and Alicia Vikander and went, I don't care.
Yeah, basically, I went, they're good enough. They should carry this movie, and they didn't.
Yep. So
especially her. She's bad at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I watch this movie, I recall that the first thing that
Can we ask the percentage number to be tacked on?
When you watch 83% of this movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
I probably watched 90%. I think I had about 10 minutes left. So the first thing that I noticed when I watched this movie was the title card of Tulip Fever. And I felt at the time, and I know now that it became true, that it was a foreshadowing of what was to come, because Tulip Fever was all white except for the F. Mm-hmm. The F was in red. Mm-hmm. And once I saw that, I thought to myself, is this movie telling me to F this movie? And guess what, guys? Fuck this movie.
I'd like to say that I give that effort a C.
Oh, I get you. You gave that effort.
Damon, you get a B+.
Why does Damon get a B+? But yeah, so. You know, we've been kind of talking it through. We've been conversating on the matter, so I don't have a lot more to say. But I did want to share that tidbit with you. This movie kind of sucks. Outside of the people in it, there's no reason to really watch it.
Guys, I have breaking news. CNN just put out the most popular GIFs of 2017. In news.
What one?
Organization.
What one?
Who cares? We have to shut CNN, though. They're literally fake news. I have to agree with Donald Trump. They're fake news. What is happening to this world?
Everybody needs clickbait.
There's no news to report on. Did crime stop today?
Today there was crime. No crime.
Oh, no crime day. All right.
There was an armistice called for today.
Okay. A crime strike?
All over the world. Everyone just said, not today.
Peace and love in schools was expanded to the world. Pals. Oh my God. What's pals backwards, Douglas? Slap. Never forget. Oh, Lord. So right, so you were saying this movie's trash.
Yeah, this movie is trash. Okay. I doubt I'll watch the last 10 minutes.
You don't need to. Let me tell you what happens. Exactly what you think happens.
Yep. Actually, one thing that through the movie I was wondering, because it could be a fever dream, but I recall when I saw the trailer for this movie that they played up the fact that the husband found out and was very upset.
Yeah.
And up to when I saw, he had not found out.
Right. So he finds out.
I figure he does.
Nothing happens.
Yeah.
He gives the house to the lady and the fishmonger. And moves to West Indies to start a new family.
No.
So, there's no Koreaness happening at the end. He just gives up. He's just like, my life sucks. And goes away.
I thought he was going to marry the maid.
Yeah. Because she kind of foreshadowed that at the beginning.
Yeah, she did,
He just gave the house to her and the fish guy. And,
and so I guess with the house came all of the fancy clothes. Right. Okay. Right. He's just and like, so I'm out.
She is narrating this story to the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other babies at the end. It's like a Christmas story where everyone's around the table. It's very bad. Douglas' movie's trash.
Wow.
It's trash.
So did Norman Osborn get
he was never seen again.
Yeah. Because, you know, the leader of the wolf pack is a moron.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys are weird.
What do you mean?
This movie sucks. What do you want? What do you want from us? We're just Andrew, what do you think of this movie? Yep.
I wonder how much of this review Andrew's either going to just delete or bleep out. That would be interesting.
What? I already have in mind a few cut points, but let's not worry about that.
Right. So Andrew thinks highly of this movie, and we're moving on.
So yeah, I definitely don't love this movie, but I don't know. Maybe it's because I spent more time enjoying the characters than caring about like the story going on and thinking like, oh, they did crazy things. Like, for example, maybe just you guys shouting at me about history books. I didn't know about the tulip economy, and I thought that was so dumb. Just watching scenes of them being down there shouting up like it's a stock market over what a
tulip
exactly
is going
to be.
That's exactly what it was. Uh-huh. And there is a thing called the tulip crisis or the tulip crash, because guess what, Andrew? Do you remember in one of the scenes, I think, was it the fishmonger? So, you know, the uninitiated comes in and says, but hold on, let's think about this. So, if I buy today, it doubles by next week. Mm-hmm. That's great for me, but
yeah, why would I sell?
And even if I sell, doesn't, you know, after a time, isn't there a problem? And they're like, no. And then the guy even says, I call it the theory of the greater fool, which, by the way, is a thing. So
I've actually heard that term before, so I know what that is.
Yeah. So they even, like, just broadcast that shit as well, which is dumb and fine, like, sure. And, you know, if they did things like that within a movie that was good for one reason or another, whether it was great because it was great and serious and you had that one little moment, or whether it was a bunch of things like that where you look at it and you're like, yeah, that's dumb, I'd be fine with it. But this movie is just not good, you know? And it's one of those movies where it's not really that I hate it, because I agree with it, Andrew. There's nothing, it's not really horrible, right? Yeah. But you know what it is? It's a waste of my fucking time.
You might be right, Douglas. You might just be right.
He may be crazy.
But like, there, I think that there are enough dumb things in this movie. Like, you guys talked about Tom Holland already, who, like, can't
stand out the best part of this movie by far.
Cannot mention him, right? It's strange to see Zach Galifianakis in a film like this, so much so that when he showed up, I stopped it and took out my phone and was like, who are you? You don't tell me.
I know, right? I agree. I had the same, but I didn't take out my phone, but after a while I said, you know what? That's who that is. Mm-hmm. By the way, our introduction to Tom Holland is the greatest thing. The funniest thing in this world. You know, from the front or the back, whichever one you desire. Or even before that, he's like, so how late are you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you mean the other.
Wrong patient.
All right, I can't sound this out. Don't worry yourself. You can't conceive, eh? All right. There's a bed.
He's so good. Damn it. There's so many things that he's in, so many good things and so many bad things, where he does that. And I'm fine with watching those movies for it. And those, man, he's the greatest.
And I mean, like, there are elements of the relationship between Wakanda and the maid, which I actually like. And weirdly enough, like, you guys talk about the whole section of the movie where there becomes a plot of how to finalize the whole birth switch thing that they're going on with. And I don't know that I wasn't paying too close attention to the movie, but I didn't see that was going to happen. And I was like, oh, this actually feels like a cool, weird way for them to do this dumb story of this woman trying to escape this situation she's in, where she's just not happy. And like, I thought the movie did enough to play with itself that it didn't feel like a trite period movie with just having a bad romance story. Now, do I think it's a good movie? No, not really. But I think it's better than what you guys are throwing at it, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's not that good.
It's a bad movie.
And you talk about, you know, how she was unhappy. This movie never presents that. This movie, no, sure, she's not happy,
there's
right?
Literally
she's
a scene, there's literally a scene where she runs from Norman Osborn's loving hands back to the house in a rush because she finds out her husband is going to be coming home.
Yeah.
And you see her run into the bed, taking off all her clothes, and she gets in the bed and she's just, her face goes to like tears.
Yes, because this was the first time she'd ever done something like this and lied to her husband and she felt bad about it.
Yeah.
That's how I read that.
Yeah. Right.
Like, oh, because as much as she loves this fella, she's being deceitful and horrible. Right? That's how I read it, and it was an internal struggle.
And all of that is unhappy.
Huh? time.
No, not unhappy about her marriage.
Yeah.
Right? But either way,
unhappy about
her
life.
What I was saying is that I don't think you can argue maybe eventually she would get there, right? Know that she's tasted that sweet, sweet taste of love. Mm-hmm. But but she was never really represented as, you know, hating her life or whatever. It was, you know, a thing where she's like, well, this is fine. I suppose I can mm-hmm. do this. It's fine.
Yeah, Christoph has treated me poorly 0 times.
Yeah.
So let's do this.
You know, but either way, that's not to say that that needs to occur, but you never got that dichotomy. Or at least I didn't see it.
The movie didn't earn any other things it was trying to do. The romance was not earned. Like, they didn't put enough work for you to
wait, sorry, so do you mean walking in and looking at somebody of the opposite sex isn't enough work?
I mean,
stand still.
All right, never mind. Point it.
Eyes.
That's when you explain to some,
when you explain to someone that blue is expensive,
yeah,
that's how it happens.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, this movie.
The other movie you guys want to talk about is the new Steven Soderbergh film, which I'm happy that you guys decided to allow to lift the ban on me talking about Steven Soderbergh.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get to talk about Logan Lucky.
Yay!
His newest movie where he makes Ocean's 11, mm-hmm. but in the South?
Yes, Hillbilly's Ocean's 11. He made Ocean's 14. But we'll
they are making another Oceans movie on its own. Are.
He made
a Lady Oceans 10. Movie.
Oh. A prequel to Oceans 11.
This is Oceans 5.5.
Yeah, there's like 4 people and 2 idiots. So Oceans 5.
No. There's a boatload of people in this, but no. They equivocate.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, uh-huh. Let's move on.
Yep. Mats. You got mats in your English.
Uh-huh. That's not mats.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
So
Doug.
Basically,
that's a joke, Doug.
Oh my God. What happens here is that Channing Tatum playing a injured man is fired from a job.
You paused, and the word you came up with was man? What was the pause for?
You forgot the word man? I was thinking how to dig myself out of injured. Like, I'm like, that's wrong. Uh-huh.
He was going to say he plays an injured Channing Tatum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He plays Jimmy Logan, a guy who works in a construction job firm, whatever, and he's fired from his job because he has a pre-existing injury. See there, that sounds better.
Yes.
And after said firing, he goes to his brother, who is missing an arm.
Kylo,
was in the war.
They chopped it off in Star Wars.
Yeah. played by Adam Driver, otherwise known Kylo Ren.
Emo Kylo.
And he devises a plan as to how to perform a heist on the NASCAR raceway.
Did you just say cauliflower to me, Douglas?
Yes, I did. That was good. That was dumb.
That was outstanding.
This movie, not so good.
Oh, Douglas. You're better than that, Douglas.
That was dumb.
Right, Andrew, continue with your synopsis.
No, that's kind of it. Like, they go to do a heist, and they do a heist in the ocean style.
Or I'm probably the stupid one. Because I didn't realize that, I think her name is Millie, was their sister until... I read about it in the.
They kept saying it the whole time.
I thought, honestly, for a long time, because they're so close, I thought she was Channing Tatum's girlfriend. And after a while, I realized, well, no, because of Aliens Lady. Mm-hmm. But.
Everyone kept going to them and being like, oh, the cursed Logans.
So, yes.
And then everybody's like, nothing happened.
And it wasn't until
Millie,
the end when James Bond said, when he said about the curse, and she kept talking, and I was like, wait, what? Maybe she's.
They had mentioned it earlier.
I'm sure they had. I'm
just busy not liking this movie.
This movie, it's actually all right, but you know what it is for me? And
it's watered down oceans.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You set the bar. Once you realize what type of movie it was, you're like, all right, Soderbergh has made 14 of these movies. Let's do this.
And the sad thing about it is that, you know, there are a lot of movies you can watch and you say, oh, it's Ocean's 11 or it's this or it's the, it feels like another movie. But there's a difference between feeling like another movie and what this one did, because this is Ocean's 11. I can literally point out and say, well, Channing Tatum's Danny Ocean.
He made
Adam
movie.
Driver's Rusty. The two brothers are
the two Mormon idiots. More,
You can actually, and then even the way it's shot, the way that they bring together the team, the way that the montages are set up, the feel of the soundtrack, everything is Ocean's 11.
The faceless bad guys.
Even the like warden. Everything. The warden is Terry. Whatever his name is. This thing is.
Oh, the warden was a great.
Yeah, bit. I did like the warden actually. But
there are no riots at our prison.
Yep. None.
And I was extremely disappointed by James Bond. So his character is so funny, so much funnier in the trailer than in the movie. Because that's I guess what, because they probably blow everything exactly. Mm-hmm. So all the great parts are in the trailer, and then you watch it and you say, oh, this
is just a hillbilly.
This accent doesn't really do it. They don't play with it much more than what we saw, and
you know that accent doesn't belong on James Bond.
Damien, I want to a public apology for this movie because I didn't know we were still in the time period where you were allowed to make me watch movies with Seth MacFarlane in it.
Ah. Yeah, it took me a little while to figure out that that's who that was.
Ah.
Yeah.
Who is that?
He's the driver.
He's the big driver?
Not the driver, but the owner of, of the car. Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, did you realize that the driver was Bucky?
Yeah, I did notice that. He was dumb.
Well, the driver was just a guy. Seth MacFarlane was dumb.
But he.
Oh yeah.
Bucky kept going on about how he's perfectly tuned.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. His software is crashing.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, Douglas. While I accept that this is watered down oceans, it's essentially adding a cup of water to a gallon of soda.
Yeah.
Right. It's still basically soda.
and that's the thing. I think that, so I want to watch this movie again because I think that a lot of my hate, well, I really don't hate it, right? But as you said, it's expectations. A lot of my disappointment has to do with that expectation of how good this was going to be versus what it is. And it's not even that it was bad. It's just that from scene one, you realize what it is. And it just gnaws at you from start to finish. So I hope to like this movie, but at the moment, I'm just watching the Oceans movie instead, you know?
This movie feels to me what Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is to Guardians of the Galaxy 1, where it's not as good. And objectively, you look at it and you're like, listen, you guys are just... You took a sheet and placed over the good one, and you traced most of the shit. And where did the line of yours went? Nah, fuck it. But it's still enjoyable. And I like watching from the minute it starts, and Channing is talking to his daughter, and he's just like talking about the song, and then at the very end, he's like, "All right, give me the gun show." And you watch the little girl.
That I'm is
like,
great.
All right,
I
listen.
Love it.
All right,
I love
movie.
I do love that. I do like that daughter, child, girl, whatever.
You got, all right, movie, you got me.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of it, the movie just washed over. Like, I knew the entire time.
That was a great scene, that first scene when he was doing all sorts of, talking all sorts of foolishness, and then he'd say, socket wrench, one-fifth. And she's like, yep, here you go.
And she's like, and flathead or Phillips.
Yeah,
and that was great.
Just the two of them together.
Right. The fantastic movie start, and then you see him go off and he gets fired. And then you see him with Adam Driver. And Adam Driver is a crazy lunatic. And then you see it's the scene in the parking lot. And you just go, all right, Steven Soderbergh still knows how to make. And then you're like, I know what this movie is now. This movie is just Oceans. but with dirty hillbillies instead of these slick assholes in Las Vegas. But he did it. And all of the characters that are lovable characters. Like, everybody's
funny. That difference that you mentioned is the difference that bothers me the most. Mm-hmm. The thing that I loved about the Ocean's movies was the slickness of the characters.
Right.
Right. So now that we're in this hillbilly mode, it almost feels like he got rid of the rhythm of the people playing with each other that you love from those Ocean's movies. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of scenes that I can point out to the Ocean's movies. One that I always go to is in Ocean's 12. There's this scene where they take Matt Damon to, a meet, and they're just talking nonsense to each other.
Right.
But there's a rhythm to how all of the dialogue is going that, regardless of you understanding who's messing with who, it feels like a scene that flows, and that is the thing that missed from almost every part of this movie. Like, when you get to the reveal part of the movie where they show you how Channing planned it all together and it ended up working out so that he knew but someone else didn't, it almost felt like just a complete rip-off movie rather than it being an Ocean's Light. Because we've seen a lot of Ocean's Light movies, down to shitty ones we don't like that much, like Now You See Me kind of movies,
yeah.
Right? Which is just Ocean's Light, but you see magic. Me
so bad.
Right?
Why? And this is
but
fun.
But the thing about the
why
thing
did
about
they not
is
take
that
the opportunity to name the second movie, No, You Don't. They really should have. Douglas McCall.
Wait for the third one, Douglas. It'll
trash.
Happen. But the thing about it is that I kind of like Now You See Me more than this, because Now You See Me kept the slickness.
That's
kept
God,
the slickness.
That's strong, Andrew. That's
right?
Oh my God.
Like, even though
Damn
Now
it.
You See Me is a bad movie,
nothing
Now You See Me kept kept that rhythm that I like from these movies. Here in this movie, there are definitely things that I've found funny. Like, look, when you go to James Bond in prison, and he tells him to go to his brothers, and you realize that they say their name is the Bang Brothers. Like, that had me laughing.
Oh, I didn't get that. Okay.
Go visit the bear in the woods.
Yeah,
for my bag.
The bear in the woods for the bag.
And then he disappears. You're like, thank you, movie.
Andrew, that was
you can't
pretty good.
Say love, you like No, You See Me more because you're smiling talking about this movie.
I love that those guys are like, listen, I hear you and all, but we need a moral reason to rob this thing.
All of that is ripped off straight from Oceans, but it's still so funny. Right? The movie isn't
Seth
Oceans,
MacFarlane is
but
in this
it's
movie,
close
so
enough
this movie.
That if you squint, it's basically Oceans. Andrew, you realize I'm going to call the Soderbergh Association and have your membership revoked, right? Because you just said
it's all your fault.
You just said a movie that was directed by Steven Soderbergh is worse than Now You See Me.
So,
and you can't take that back. You're going to live with that hanging over your head forever.
It's crazy. So Andrew's essentially
can I still
saying
talk about Kafka?
That this movie is a garbage Soderbergh movie. is what Andrew said.
Gotta put garbage Soderbergh on art.
Okay, Bubble is worse than this. If we're talking about garbage soda, Bubble is worse.
Yeah, but everyone knows Bubble is worse. It's not saying anything. Right?
Is that
don't.
This is that song?
Yeah. Bubble Demo Bubble.
Yeah, yeah, Bubble. Yeah, that's it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Soderbergh produced that track. Him and Sean Paul. I can't believe I'm the only person that likes a Steven Soderbergh movie.
I know better. I'll allow myself to like this next time.
You're not enjoying it now because it wasn't what you wanted. But you
I'll
know the next
exactly
time
what
you'll
I
see
need.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
The next time you see
I actually wonder if I'm more like Douglas where I hate it because it wasn't what I wanted. And expectations. I don't know.
And also,
but
you know what happened
take a
to
long
me as
time.
Well is I saw Andrew. You watched this way in advance of me, maybe by a couple of weeks, because I watched this just the other day, just on Saturday, I think. And I saw your review when you did it, and you were not pleased. And I remember thinking, boy, if Andrew doesn't like this movie. Yeah. And so that may have tainted the way that I look at it.
Oh my God. Andrew doesn't like a Soderbergh movie. This got to be trash.
I was able to very quickly latch on and say, ah, that's why he doesn't like it. You know what? Yeah, fuck this.
Yes, I have now defaulted to my natural state. Fuck this movie.
Yep. My arms
firmly
folded,
crisscrossed across my chest.
Oh, okay.
Squinting at screen.
They have crisscrossed, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Crisscross to make you
jump.
Thank you.
Anyways, movie. I guess we're done with this movie, right? Right.
So none of the movies, and no one liked both movies. Andrew liked the first movie more than the second, which is impossible to imagine. He's so bad at this.
I want to talk about two movies. One really quick, one I'll talk more about. First off, Kingsman 2.
Yes, Electric Boogaloo.
Andrew, don't
garbage.
Say it.
Right.
Damien, did you watch this movie?
I haven't.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Awful.
So,
right.
Damien.
I disagree on principle.
Damien.
It can't be.
Damien.
It's the same people, right?
It is the same people.
Exactly. Is it the same director?
Yes, it's the same.
Yes.
Then it cannot. I do not accept the thing Andrew is saying.
Damon, let me explain to you. There's one key thing that's missing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Sam Jackson in this movie.
Yeah, right? That's not a negative. I like Sam Jackson as much as everybody else. But removing him from the first movie would not have made that movie any worse.
Yeah.
Girl Damon. With knife feet. Is what is impressive about that first movie.
So here's what
and
I
you know
would,
what
here's
you
how I would sell
this movie,
to you, right?
Man with rocket punch.
So here's how I would sell this movie to you, Damien. So you watch the first movie, just like
I have,
and you've seen Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm.
Now you watched Logan Lucky, and you said it was a pale imitation,
right?
But still,
right,
pretty good,
it
right?
Down, but it still tastes good.
That's what the second movie is.
Yeah, that's what
it's,
Damien,
it's not as good.
That's
but
what I assumed it was going to be.
It's fine.
Yeah,
it's
and Damien,
pretty decent.
Yeah. The movie is 2.5 hours long.
Oh shit! Why?
I actually didn't even realize that.
But
oh, right.
That's good. Because if the time flew by, then you're like, all right, who gives a shit?
I realized.
I mean, there's
it.
Still problems with the movie. You know? For instance, there is. Nowhere near enough Channing Tatum in this movie.
Okay.
Are
the jokes still
they couldn't
good?
Afford him.
Yeah, the jokes are still decent.
Yeah, so
I mean,
the problem?
It's fine.
It's bad.
It's fine. It's good.
It's decent. Awful.
I enjoyed it.
Speed up your tablet.
As soon as I do want to talk about. Root that shit enough because I can't deal with it.
Tired. The movie I do want to talk about is the new Joaquin Trier film, which I got around to
watching. Did you watch it?
I did.
What's
Thelma.
Again? Which
Who is Joaquin Trier?
Somebody.
Lars von Trier's cousin. He also made Oslo August 31st, which we talked about a while back.
Yeah, Damon was going to be...
What time?
Obtuse.
No, we keep doing this and not like saying who these people are.
Oh, okay.
We just accept that. These esoteric people that three other people know who they are. Just throwing out these names. And assuming that, people who listen to this that aren't us know who these people are.
Well,
I will go Google search it.
If they don't, then they should.
That's a good way to get people to listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Just inside jokes and throwing out
names. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, have you explained Garbage Soderbergh yet?
Never.
Because
never.
There's a reason.
No. There should be
that
some.
We were dying
Garbage Soderbergh makes the podcast more endearing because they're like, these guys are having fun. But when it's general purpose things like actors and directors that everyone wouldn't immediately know, we should probably give some context.
So yes, Joaquin Trier.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who did Oslo August 31st.
Yes.
His new film, and he actually did a movie in between that I forgot about because I didn't like it, called Louder Than Bombs. I don't know if either of you guys saw
that. Yeah, I didn't realize
that
was him.
Oh,
I never
shit.
Watched it because it looked pretty bad.
That's with, what's
yeah,
his
Jesse
face?
Eisenberg.
Yeah.
With Facebook. Lex Luthor.
Oh my God, that movie's trash.
Yeah.
Oh, you watched it?
Yeah.
Oh,
Douglas, I was maybe 20 minutes in before I looked at that movie and went, ooh. there's not enough cocaine in the world to get me through this.
But I've forgotten about that movie. That movie doesn't exist in my mind. Right.
Fair enough.
Here is the movie Thelma, and I adore this movie.
Thelma? Mm-hmm. What's the name of the movie?
Yeah, Thelma. It's about a young girl mm-hmm. who...
Is her Becky. Name Louise?
No.
No. Her name is Thelma.
Her name is Becky.
Who goes off to college.
Does she have good hair?
Yes. Exceptional hair. Like Rapunzel, but longer.
And she's now let out of her house and is free, like all 18-year-olds who right. go off to school.
She escapes her castle and climbs down her own hair
and then causes agony.
I
this movie about again? I've forgotten. I got confused.
Sorry.
Oh my god. So yeah, she heads off to college and she ends up in this relationship sort of with another woman. And it kind of conflicts with her upbringing because she has a very religious upbringing. Mm-hmm. And it's this inner conflict with her. And at the same time, there's this supernatural thing going on with her that isn't quite explained. And at the end of the movie,
is it is it supernatural like it's real natural or like the other one?
It's extraordinary.
That's like a yeah. word. So yeah. it's regular.
Yeah.
It's really regular.
Is supernatural that weird a word for this podcast?
No. Douglas has been dumb because the word supernatural shouldn't mean what it actually means. Just like extraordinary shouldn't mean what it actually means. English is stupid.
This is true. Anyway, so supernatural because she was not
powers.
She was not flammable. She was actually inflammable. Right. Oh wait.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Where was that? Supernatural.
She's supernatural.
These supernatural things start occurring throughout this movie. Douglas, stop fucking with me. I'm going to just mute the Skype call and just talk for like 15 minutes. All of these things start happening, and you watching the movie, even when it's over, like there's definitely an ambiguity to it as to whether half of it is real or not, or what's going on, and you can leave it with your own feelings as to what's going on. But I love the way this movie feels because there's a sense of emotion to it where there are scenes where it jumps into the supernatural and at times it feels as if it's just it's you kind of connecting with Thelma and what's going on with her. So for example, there's this one scene in the movie where she's with a bunch of friends and they get her to try weed and it goes into this moment with her being strangled by a snake and her friend touching her and stuff like that. And eventually the movie kind of jogs you out of it.
That snake's a snake, Andrew.
the friend is... What?
Where is this movie? Are you sure
that snake? That snake had one eye, didn't it?
All of the things you're describing sounds like a shitty porn movie.
And then the movie will jog you out of it, and then she's like, no, they're lying to you. It was just a regular cigarette. Like, stop pretending. But at the same time, there's a lot of things going on in the world. And it's one of these movies where, as it moves forward, it starts to reveal more and more about the supernatural with Thelma, and it becomes more and more you questioning and moving from true or false as to whether what's going on is real or if it's in somebody's head. It's basically the ambiguous version of The Witch, but Joaquin Trier makes it so lovely to watch, and to just kind of be moving from being uncomfortable in scenes where you're seeing this girl literally hit her head against a wall praying to not feel these feelings because she grew up in this religious background, and then go out and try and interact with the world where she'll tell people she doesn't drink alcohol because she's religious and see how that goes and stuff. It's a fascinating, awesome, fucked up movie that definitely earns the Trier last name in some senses.
You don't get to make that decision.
No,
you have been a hater of Lars for a good long time.
Yeah.
So you don't get...
The League of Trier is right here.
Yeah.
And we
put it this way, I'm offering this movie to the League of Triers to put your judgment on it when time comes.
He's 0 for like 7 at this point. So
was Joaquin?
Yeah, right. Has he? No, Joaquin. Like, what movie has
he's
he made?
Only made 3, right?
Two.
He's made 4. Oh, right. We've 4? Only seen.
Okay.
I've seen 3.
That has the Trier seal of approval. Yeah. None.
I liked Oslo. It was fine, but it was not Trier.
But
right?
It wasn't.
Right?
It wasn't a fucked up movie. It was a depressing movie.
Yeah.
And Louder Than Bombs.
No, that definitely fails the Lars test.
Remember when Lars thought he could make a comedy? It's worse than that.
Oh yes.
So yeah, we'll see.
And is that how you pronounce his name?
Just a perfect day.
Until someone corrects me.
I always assume because he's Danish.
Yeah.
That, you know,
Joachim.
It's Joachim, but or maybe Joachim actually, but maybe
when
I'm wrong.
It gets dark, we go home. Just a perfect day. Feed animals in the zoo. Then later, a movie too, and then home.